We're holding on Sadiq Hey Umud Bey's last line. Yesterday we had, the Mishnah had told us that when the Pesach comes B'tuma, then we said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if the Tmeim come into the Azara, they're potter from Kares. Okay, the Halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, but nevertheless we asked what happened. Rabbi Yosef asked, what about if the Tmeim Mesim come into the Heifel? They have the right to be in the Azara, to bring the Korban Pesach, because it's being brought B'tuma, but they don't have the right to come into the Heichel. So what's the din? We had two versions of what Rava answered, and the second version was that they're not going to be Oivran and Issur Kares. It's also for them to do, but they're not Oivran and Issur Kares. So now a similar question. Boy Rabbi Yosef, Doch Utmei Mesim V'Ochle Mure Pesach Abba B'tuma Mahu. What would happen if the Tmei Mesim pushed their way through and they ate the Imurim of the Korban Pesach, which is brought B'tuma? Now, again, they have the right to, being Tmei Mes, and being that the Pesach is brought B'tuma, they have the right to eat the meat of the Korban Pesach B'tuma, but of course they don't have the right to eat Be'imurim. So the question is going to be, like this, being Tmeim, are they Chayav Kares for eating the Emurim? As the Gemara is going to type out the question in a second. Now, Rashi makes a point of mentioning over here that the Emurim means, for example, the kidneys and the Yesera Sakave, the diaphragm, and the reason Rashi has to point that out is because most of the Emurim are Chelev, and anyway, a person eats Chelev, is Chayav Kares. So if a person eats, for example, among the Emurim is the layer of fat that covers the stomachs of the animal, if a person eats that, regardless of the question of Tumah, he's Chayav Kares anyway for the fact that he ate Chelev. So we're focusing on the parts of the Emurim, which are not chalev, but nevertheless are offered on the Mizbeach. Another example would be the Alya, the tail of the, if it's a sheep. Okay, so the question is, the Gemara continues, Mid Ishtiri Tumas Basar Ishtiri Nami Tumas Emurim. Do we say that since they're allowed to eat the meat, the Tumah, even though usually that would be Chayav Kares as well, therefore now also the Isur Kares of the Emurim is also lifted? Now, Rashi points out, they're going to be also on a different ground anyway. They're also because a Zor is not allowed to eat, the parts of the Kodshim that don't pertain to them. For example, let's say a Zor eating a Chatos would be over on this. The Emurim, everybody's a Zor relative to them because they're supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, though, there's no Issur Kores in that. That's only an Issur Lav. So would we say that the Issur Kores goes away? Or would we say only the parts of the carbon that it says that are mutter? We said the meat, the tmeim can eat, so that becomes mutter, and they're not chayav kares for that. My deloy ishturi lo ishturi, but whatever was not mutter, namely the emurim, is not mutter, and therefore there's no heter for that, and therefore they would be chayav kares for eating them. Omar Rava, so Rava answers, Mechdi, let's consider. Tumas emurim beheicha israb. Anyway, where do we know the concept? Bechlal, forgetting about the Korban Pesach. Any Korban, if a person were to eat the emurim when he's tame, where do we find in the first place that he'd be chayav kares for that? So that would be mitumas baser. We only learn it from a riboy in connection with the case of where the meat is tame and you're not allowed to eat it. Namely, the pasuk says, "V'hanefesh asher techa baser mizevach hashlamim asher l'Hashem v'tumasei olav." A person eats meat from the shlamim that belong to Hashem, and his tumah is on him, then he gets kares. So we learned earlier in the Masechta that the words asher l'Hashem l'rabbis haseimurim, those words come to include the emurim because otherwise they're extra. Of course, we know a shlamim is brought to Hashem. So therefore, so we see that the ribui, that there's a kri of kares for eating them, not only applies, but is mentioned in connection with a pasuk that's talking about eating the meat of the korban. Therefore, says Rava, kol hecha de isay l'trumas baso isay l'trumas emurin. Therefore, the rule would be, whenever the issur of eating the meat of the korban b'tumah applies, then the issur of eating the emurim b'tumah also applies, and therefore, yes, the person would be chayav kares. But in our case, you're bringing the korban pesach b'tumah, and therefore you're allowed to eat the meat b'tumah. Therefore, kol hecha the lesser, the tumas baser, so if there's no tumas baser, in this case, we're allowing the tmei mes to eat the meat of the korban, therefore, lesser tumas emurim, therefore the tumah of emurim doesn't apply either, and the answer would be that yes, if they did eat the emurim, then they're not chayav kares. They're only over on the issue of lav of zorus. Which, by the way, the Tzlach points out in that case, the Gemara, in that case, it means not only Rava answered Rabbi Yosef's question, but it means that even Rava is adding a detail that Rabbi Yosef didn't even imagine could be. Rabbi Yosef had asked the question about the Tmei Mes specifically, implying, let's say, for example, it was a Zav or what have you that were to eat them. Then Rabbi Yosef starts with the assumption, of course they'd be Chayav. They have no Heter to eat the Korban Pesach. We said in the Mishnah that even when the Pesach is brought with Tumah, Zavim and so forth can't eat from it. All we said is if they do, they're Potter from Kares. But now that Rava is telling us that the Emurim were learning from the case of the meat, then we would say the same way as we said in our Mishnah that when the Pesach is brought with the Zavim, even though they're not allowed to eat from it, are not Chayav Kares if they do. The same way would be not only as far as the Tmei Mes, but also as far as the Zavim, that if they ate the Emurim, they wouldn't be Chayav Kares either. Okay. Boy, Rav Zeira. So since we're talking about the Emurim, Rav Zeira asked a question.
Isn't that obvious?
No, it's not so obvious. In fact, that was Rabbi Yosef's point. Rabbi Yosef was asking, first of all, that maybe Bechlal, nobody's allowed to eat Be'emurim, so maybe that issue is not lifted. And also, Rabbi Yosef was saying, even if you're going to say that it is lifted and there's no kares for it, maybe that would only apply to the people who have the right to eat the Korban Pesach, namely the Tmei Mes. Not necessarily would it apply to the Zavim. But now, based on Rabbi's answer, not only do we have the answer, but we can extend it to the Zavim.
If it's allowable for the Tmei Mes, why it shouldn't be allowed for the Zavim?
The Emurim are not allowed for the Tmei Mes. Nobody's allowed to eat Emurim.
What's allowed to the Tmei Mes, why would you say it's not allowed to the Zavim? You really would have
because
to have a good reason.
Told us that the Pesach, we had in the Mishnah, the Pesach, when the Korban Pesach is brought for Tumah, the meat of it the Tmei Mes can eat, because we learned before that the Korban Pesach is brought for the purpose of eating, and therefore when the Korban Pesach is brought for Tumah, then it's eaten for Tumah. But we said the whole concept of Pesach above Tumah only applies to people who are Tmei Mes or Tmei from other similar things outside of themselves, not people who are Tmei with a Tumah that came out of their own body like a Zav. So no, we said in the mission of a Zav does not have the right to eat the Korban Pesach. All Rava is saying is, according to the Tzlach's explanation anyway, is that once we say that, the Mishnah had told us they're not Chayav Kares for if they eat a Pesach above a Tumah, so Rava is just saying in that case the same thing would have to apply to the Emurim as well, even though really nobody has the right to eat the Emurim. So it's not so obvious. Okay. Boy, Rav Zeira. Emure Pesach Mitzrayim Hecha Akterinu. Since we're talking about the Emurim, when you bring a Korban Pesach, we're saying you offer the Emurim on the Mizbeach. But there was no Mizbeach in Mitzrayim by the original Pesach. So where did they burn the Emurim? Omalei Abaya, so Abaya answers, Rav Zeira, Nu, how do you know they did Bechlal? Uman Leimalon Delo Shvisti Ovod. How do you know that they didn't roast them on the spit? Now, shviski is an Aramaic word meaning roast. In other words, one way of understanding what Abaya is saying is that just, you know, the same way as we roast the Korban Pesach on a spit, as we've learned before, the same way here the Emurim, it was before Matan Torah, the Emurim weren't yet also to them. There was no mitzvah yet to burn them on the Mizbeach. Therefore, they just put them on the spit together with the rest of the Korban Pesach and ate them. Although the Meiri brings a possibility, the Meiri says that no, what the Gemara may mean is they put them on a spit and burnt them on the spit. So the rest of the Korban Pesach they roasted, and the Emurim they put on a spit and burnt, says Abaya. V'oid ha'toni Rabbi Yosef, also says Abaya, besides logic that would say that maybe that the Pashtos say they did that, besides that we have ha'toni Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef actually taught a braisa, gimel mizbechas ho'yusham. There were three mizbechas over there for sprinkling the blood. Now normally you have, when you bring the Korban Pesach, there's one mizbeach, and we've said before that you apply the blood of the Korban Pesach at one time, the Damaton Matono Achas of Ovadjit and Tenegadai Soed. We discussed before whether it's supposed to be Beshvicha, pouring it gently, or Bezrika, or Bezrika, throwing it. Whatever the case, in Mitzrayim they didn't have one mizbeach. They had in effect three mizbeachas. Ala mashke falshei mezuzas. They had the lintel of the door and the two mezuzas where they applied the blood of the korban. The two midiachrin eloi hava, and there was no other mizbeach. So in other words, there was no other place where they could have been burning the emurim. Either they ate the emorim, or either they put the emorim on a spit. Therefore, they put them on a spit. Either they ate them, or according to the Meiri, they burnt them. But there was no mizbeach. There was no that you can't burn them on the lintel and the doorposts, obviously. So therefore, they didn't burn them on a mizbeach as they usually would. Okay. Mishnah says, Ma ben Pesach Mitzrayim le Pesach Doris. In the previous Mishnah, or two Mishnayos ago, actually, we said the differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Shein. So now, by the way, we're going to talk about what are the differences between the Pesach that they did in Mitzrayim versus the one that they do in future generations. So number one, Pesach Mitzrayim, we're going to learn in the Gemara where we see each of these details. Pesach Mitzrayim Nikochay Mibalser. Number one, the Pesach they brought in Mitzrayim, they had to buy it on the 10th of Nisan. Now Rashi uses the expression, they had to say Zel L'Shem Pesach. Now Rashi points out later on that it's possible to have that you can designate the animal for the, you can, Rashi mentions in connection with something else, but you can infer from Rashi kind of that it doesn't literally necessarily mean that you have to buy it. You know, we say in the Pasuk, Mishchu Chulachem, Rashi says on the Pasuk, it means take a sheep of your own, and if you don't have a sheep of your own, then go buy one. So it doesn't mean you have to buy it, it just means that it has to be designated 4 days before Pesach. That was only Pesach Mitzrayim. You don't need to do that in Pesach Doros. V'ton hazor ba'gudas ezov v'alamashkif al shtei mezuzos. With the one in Mitzrayim, they had to take a bundle of ezov and apply the blood to the mashkif, to the lintel of the door, and the two mezuzos, the two side posts. Which in Pesach Doros you don't do that, of course. You pour it or dash it against the side of the mizbeach. Also, the one in Mitzrayim had to be eaten quickly. The pasuk says, it had to be eaten in one night. Now, what does that mean? Pesach in the future generations also has to be eaten on one night. We'll see in the Gemara what it means. Pesach Doros Noyag Kol Shiva, whereas Pesach in future generations lasts for 7 days. Which also the Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean? I mean, in future generations, you don't eat the Korban Pesach for 7 days. You only eat it for the one night. So in that, there doesn't seem to be any difference between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. We'll discuss in the Gemara what the Mishnah means with this last line. Okay, so the Gemara starts off, Menolam. Where do we know that only in Mitzrayim did they have to buy it or designate it 4 days in advance? So, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Dabru akal adas Yisrael lemo, speak to the whole congregation of the Jewish people saying, but also lachodesh hazeh v'yifu, on the 10th of the month they should buy it. By the way, some of the Mephoshim explain that maybe the Ba'asa L'Chodesh Hazeh is saying when they should speak to the Jewish people. Others say that it means speak to them now, earlier in Nisan, and tell them in advance that on the 10th they should be doing this. Whatever. The point is, since it says Ba'asa L'Chodesh Hazeh, the Yichu, so the word Zeh means Zeh Mikochem, but also only this one in Mitzrayim has to be born on the 10th or designated on the 10th. The in Pesach Doros Mikochem, but also the one in future generations does not have to be born or designated on the 10th. So the Gemara asks, Elameata, well then, if you're going to say that from Lachodesh HaZeh, you're learning that a din applies only to the Korban Pesach, only to Pesach Mitzrayim, not to Pesach Doros, well, what about? No, a couple of psukim later, it says, "V'hoyo lachem l'mishmeres ad arba also yem lachodesh hazeh." It should be guarded by you until the 14th of chodesh hazeh of this month. Hachinami, are you going to say the same thing? Zeh ton bikur dalad yamim kodem shchita. Are you going to say that the pasuk is implying that you have that only by Pesach Mitzrayim do you have to check it for 4 days beforehand to make sure it doesn't have a mum, but other korbanos Pesach and other korbanos in general you don't require it because it seems you're excluding from hazeh anything other than Pesach Mitzrayim. The problem with that is Valtanya ben Bagbagoymer. We have Ben Bagbag in Pirkei Avos, but here we have a halacha dicker thing from him. Minayin l'tomid shetone bikur dalad yomim koydim shchita. How do we know that the korban tomid has to be checked for mumim for 4 days before you shecht it? And in fact, in Erchin, the Mishnah and the Gemara tell us over there that for that reason they always had six. There was a chamber in the Beis Mikdash where they kept the lambs for the Korban Tamid. They always had a minimum of six over there because it works out that that way you have a rotation over there where you took out two for today's Tamid and you have another six in there that you're going to be checking for the next few days. So how do we know that you need to do that? The pasuk says about the Korban Tamid, you should guard it to bring it from to offer it for me in its time. So by the Korban Pesach and Mitzrayim, it says the word Mishmeres. So Mishmeres Tishmeru, it's the same Shoresh. Therefore, Malahalam Ton Biko Dalad Yomim Kodim Shchita. Just like with Pesach Mitzrayim, it had to be checked for Mumim for 4 days in advance. Afkan, the same way, for the Korban Tamid, Ton Bikur Dalad Yom Kodim Shchita. It also needs to be checked for 4 days in advance. So you see, in other words, that there's something that there's a din we learn from the Korban, from Pesach Mitzrayim to future Korbanos, to the Korban Tamid. So what are you telling me? That the word Zeh is coming to be Mamayat other years? The answer is Shiny Halsim, Dr. Tishmeru. The difference is, okay, because we are learning a Gzeira Shava, but it's more the fact, since it specifies Tishmeru by the Korban Tamid, therefore, we have to say that this din applies over there, and we say, therefore, the Hazeh doesn't exclude it. So we're going to talk about later on, in that case, what does the Hazeh exclude? But because it says Tishmeru by the Korban Tamid, then therefore that's what gives us that you need. And by the way, Rashi mentions once we've established that you need it by the Tamid, then the Pashtus, the same thing would apply to Pesach Dodus as well. There's no reason the Pesach Dodus would be in that regard any less than the Korban Tamid. Okay. Or Pesach Dodus Nami. So now Pesach Dodus Nami, also by the Pesach Dodus, we can also say that it's included, not just based on that Svara that once we say it by the Tamid, then we also apply it to the Pesach, but actually we have a Pasuk. Hoksiv, because the Pasuk says, V'avadto as avoida azois b'chodesh hazeh, you should do this avoida of the Korban Pesach in this month, meaning, Shiyu kol avoidas chodesh hazeh kazeh. Meaning that all of the avoidas of this month, all korbanos Pesach that have to be brought during this month, there's a hekesh between them. So now, when it comes to buying it on the 10th, then you have the miyot hazeh. And the fact that we're going to learn from a different place. But we're going to say that in general, most dinim that apply to Pesach Mitzrayim also apply to Pesach Doris because of this hekesh, that all korbanos Pesach brought during this month of Nisan have all of these things in common. So then the hazeh that we're saying if you're telling me that we're making a hekesh that all korbanos Pesach have to be the same, then that should apply to not only bikur but also buying it 4 days in advance should apply. Now our Mishnah said that it doesn't. Now the difference is, it actually says there's not really bikur and buying it in advance are not necessarily the same thing. Because what you could have, for example, let's say you take several animals, you haven't yet decided which one you plan to use for your Korban Pesach, but you start every day you check all of them. Whichever one I'm going to use for my Korban Pesach, I'm checking in advance. Then on Erev Pesach, you pick one, and you shecht it, and that's the one that you and your group are going to eat that night. No, tied to the bed, definitely not. And the pasuk doesn't even mention tied to the bed. That's in the medrash. Yeah. No, it comes from medrash that way the Mitzrayim can see that they're degrading their avodah zarah, the sheep. Yeah, right. But yeah, yeah. So yeah. So anyway. The point is, in other words, so we're saying that, yes, ordinarily most things of the Korban Pesach, we're saying that from the Hekesh of Vavadas Avodazos, we're saying they're the same thing Pesach Mitzrayim and the same thing Pesach Doris. So Ela, who has Elam, Pesach Sheni, the Kavosei. But what we're going to do is we're going to take the Hazeh about we're going to take the Hazer about Bikur, about checking it for 4 days, we're going to exclude from that Pesach Sheni. Because Pesach Sheni is similar to Pesach Mitzrayim. It's only 1 day. As we said, as we learned before, Pesach Sheni, you only have the Isser of, you're only celebrating for 1 day, because you bring it on Erev, you bring it on your Dalet Iyar and you eat it that night. There's no Isser Chometz for 7 days like there is on Pesach, as opposed to Pesach Doris lasts for 7 days. So logically, if we have a miut by the Korban, by Pesach Mitzrayim, what are we going to be mamayit from it? We're going to be mamayit the Korban Pesach, which is similar. So, in other words, Rashi explains like this. When the Pasuk tells us you have to buy it on the 10th, and it says, Ba'asa l'chodesh hazeh, you have to buy it. Obviously, that means not Pesach Doris, because you don't need it to be Mamayat Pesach Sheni, because you already have that. Once you're saying you don't need Bikur, that once you're saying by Pesach Sheni you don't need Bikur for 4 days, then obviously you don't need Nekach for 4 days either, because the word L'mishmeres itself means that you have to guard it, means that you have to have it in your possession, and that you have to be checking it. So therefore, you have another Hazeh to tell us that even Pesach Doris you don't have to buy on the 10th. So in other words, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, we're being memayit both of them from one miut, because since it says L'mishmeres, and then we're saying that anything that's L'mishmeres, namely buying or bikur, doesn't apply to Pesach Sheni. When it comes to Pesach Rishon, when it comes to Pesach Derdus, then we're saying that we have bikur, we're not being memayit, adrabah, we're learning it from, we're bringing it in from V'avadas HaVodazos. The Hazeh comes to tell us that you don't need to buy it in advance. You can buy it on Erev Pesach, it's just the bikur has to have been done for 4 days. So in other words, the Hazeh, we're doing both. We have two Hazehs. We have one Hazeh comes to exclude Pesach Sheni from both things, Nekach and Bikur, both of which are included under the Mishmeres. And then you have another Hazeh that tells us, now when it comes to Bikur, that you do need to have by Pesach Derdus, because that we learn from Va'avadas, Avodazos, and by the Talmud, we learn from the word Tishmeru, but Nekach, but to buy it in advance, that you don't have to do by Pesach Doris. So that's how it works out. Okay. Elameata. Yeah. So you don't have to buy, so in future generations, any year after Yetzias Mitzrayim, they don't need to buy the korban in advance. They could buy it even on Erev Pesach if they want. Or actually, it actually says, maybe not actually. What it says is that, So you go, let's say, to the animal dealer. You tell him, I'm considering one or the other of these animals, so please let me check it for mumim during the next few days. And then on Erev Pesach, you say, you know what, I decided I'll settle on this one, and I'll take this one and I'll buy it. And well, because we're saying you need bikur for 4 days. Now, you do need bikur. Now, some of the Rishonim say that, okay, if you didn't do bikur, maybe b'dieved, it's kosher. But at least l'chatchila, you do need to do it. So we're saying, that's what we're saying. Pesach Rishon, you need Bikur. You don't need Nekach Miba'asa. You don't have to buy it 4 days in advance. You could wait until and buy it at a Pesach. You do have to have, even if you haven't bought it, you do have to do Bikur, though. When it comes to Pesach Sheni, you don't need either one. You don't need to buy it 4 days in advance. You don't need to buy it Yud Iyar, and you don't need to do Bikur for 4 days. Because that, you have the Mio Tazeh, and you don't have a riboy from V'avadkas Avodas as Bachodesh Hazeh, because after all, Pesach Sheni is not in the same month, it's an year. Therefore, you don't need either one. So the question then is, Elameata, by that logic, let's go through some other Hazehs that it says in the Psukim over there. And let's figure out, does that mean that they don't apply to Pesach Doris? Dichtiv ochlos abosa balayla hazeh. The Pasuk says they should eat the meat on this night. If you're going to say hazeh is a miut, so what does that mean? Hochinami dezen necho balayla, vein achem necho balayla. So what does that mean? Only Pesach Mitzrayim had to be eaten by night. Pesach Doris does not. Obviously, that's not so. And again, the answer is Amakro Vavadar Esavoida. Again, we have the Hekish from Vavadar Esavoida that says that all Korbanos Pesach brought during Nissan have the same rules. Therefore, if the one in Mitzrayim had to be eaten by night, then the one Lodotus also has to be eaten by night. Okay, so then Ela Hazer Lomeli. So what are we excluding with the word Hazer then? Now there we don't need the Hazer to exclude Pesach Sheni, because there's no reason that we would include Pesach Sheni. We don't have the Avadas Avodazos for Pesach Sheni. So And the fact is, Pesach Sheni is eaten by night as well. Rather, the word Hazeh over there, we're using for the drushes that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah or Rabbi Akiva say about the amount of time that you can eat the Korban Pesach. We're going to learn in the last parak that that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that Daraisa, you can only eat the Pesach until Chatzos, and he learns that from the word Hazeh, just like on that night, Chatzos was a special thing, because that's when Makas Bechoros took place. The same way in future generations, the deadline is Chatzos. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you can eat it until Alois HaShachar, but he says, the Hazeh teaches us that you shouldn't think the Pesach is like a shlomim, and you can eat it for another day. A shlomim, you can eat for Shnei Yom of a Laila Echad. You would think maybe the Korban Pesach also, you have extra time to eat it. No, the Pesach says a Laila Hazeh only on that night. So that's what we're learning from Hazeh, is just to limit the amount of time that the Korban Pesach can be eaten, but not that women might permit that it doesn't, that the concept of eating it by night doesn't apply to Pesach Dervis. Okay. What about another pasuk that says by Pesach Mitzrayim that no oral is allowed to eat from it? Again, the word from it seems to be a mute. So, hochi nami de boy ena oichel aval oichel bepesach doris. You're going to say the same thing, that it means that an oral is, now, Rashi mentions over here, as he often does, that an oral over here is mesu echav machmas mila. It's not that he doesn't want to have a bris mila, it's that he physically can't, because his brothers, he had two brothers already who had a bris mila and died from blood loss or whatever, so therefore we have to wait with him to have a bris mila until he's stronger. So meanwhile, though, he's considered an oral, and the fact is he's not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. So, hochi nami de boy ena oichel aval oichel bepesach doris. So you're going to tell me that, again, the boy is a mute. Only in the one in Mitzrayim is he not allowed to eat. But in Pesach, Dodas he's allowed to. The answer is no. Again, Amar Krov Abadda. Again, you have the Hekesh Abadda. Everything that applies to Pesach Mitzrayim, unless otherwise specified, applies to Pesach Dodas. So the Din of Oral also does. The Ela Boy Lomali. So then in that case, what is the word boy telling us? The answer is it's a mute for a different thing. Boy ain't oichel, aval oichel over matzah or morah. It means he's not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, but he's allowed to eat the matzah and morah. Now morah really, I mean morah is daraisa only together with the Korban Pesach. So if he's not eating the Korban Pesach, he doesn't have to eat a morah either. So mainly we're talking about matzah over here. Matzah and morah, that was a common combination, so therefore we mentioned morah over here as well. But the point is, you shouldn't think, since he's barred from eating the Korban Pesach, maybe he's not required to, or maybe not even allowed to, eat the matzah. No, he is. That's what the boy is teaching us. Okay. Ela me'atav kol ben necho lo yechoi. What about, the pasuk also says, that a ben necher is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. A ben necher is, Rashi brings, based on Mechilta, shenisnakru ma'isav la'aviv shabashamayim. And literally, the word ben necher usually means a foreigner, so it means a goy. But here it means, ben necher means a yid, shenisnakru ma'isav la'aviv shabashamayim, that he's acting in a way that's foreign to Hashem. So in part, he's a mummer. He's a mummer, not necessarily l'chola terakola, but at least for Avodah Zarah, that he believes in and worships Avodah Zarah. So therefore, say he's not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach until he does tshuva. So again, the pasuk says, "Kol ben necho lo yechol boy, hochinami de boy ein oichol aval oichol the Pesach doris." Again, are you going to say that means that he can't eat the Pesach Mitzrayim, but he can eat Pesach in future generations? Again, no, Amar Krov Avadda. No, same hekesh as before. Everything that applies to Pesach Mitzrayim applies to Pesach Doras. Therefore, that includes this. Ela boy lomali. So again, what are we excluding from? The word boy then? So the answer is boy hamoras das peselas dein hamoras das peselas petruma. It means that a mummer is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, but he is allowed to eat truma. Now, even though truma is called kodesh in some psukim, and many details that apply to the Korban Pesach also apply to truma, for example, a kohen was an oral is not allowed to eat truma either. But the exclusion of a mummer does not apply. A kohen who is a mummer is still allowed to eat truma. He may be tame, and if he is, obviously he can. But if let's say, for example, he's careful to only worship Avodah Zarah from a distance, so he's not touching it and not becoming Tamei from it, then yeah, he'd be allowed to eat Truma. Okay. So, by the way, the Gemara mentions, why do we need to mention both the Oral and the Ben Necher that neither of them are allowed to eat the Korban Pesach? So the Gemara says, Ve'itzruch lemichtav Oral, Ve'itzruch lemichtav Ben Necher. We do need to mention both of them. The E Kasav Rahmana Oral, if it mentioned only the oral, you would say, you know why? He's not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, Mishum de Mois, because after all, it's disgusting. Orla is a disgusting thing. You have a mission in Dorim, Ma'usehi Orla Shinizganu Ba'agoyim, that the Orla is a disgusting thing. The Goyim are called by a term of derision. They're called Arelim, as you have a number of times with Plishtim, for example, are called Arelim because they don't have a Milah. So therefore, you would say that such a person is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Aba Benecho Le'mois, but a Benecho, okay, he's acting disgusting, but there's nothing disgusting about his body, so there shouldn't be a problem. Emalot, but you would think that there's no problem and he can eat from the Korban Pesach. Tzricha, therefore it needed to mention the Benecho. The Iyashmin and Benecho, on the other hand, if it only mentioned the Benecho, you would say, you know why he can't eat the Korban Pesach? Mishum de'en libo l'shamayim. Because his heart is not turned towards Hashem, because he's believing in and worshipping Avodah Zarah. Aval oral deliver the shemayim, but an oral who does, after all, he does have a shem in mind. He physically can't have a bris milah, but he'd like to do everything that Hashem says. So you would think emalo, you would think there's no problem. Tzricha, therefore we need the oral and the ben necho mentioned separately. Neither one is allowed to eat from the korban pesach. Okay. In any case, the point is, the boy, by each of them, is not being mamayit. Pesach Dordus, by the oral, we're saying it means that he can eat matzah, that he has not only can eat matzah, but he has a mitzvah to eat matzah. By the ben necher, we're saying that it means that he can eat truma. By the way, there's a Tosfos in Yevamos. A large part of the sugya is in Yevamos as well, because it talks about the dinim of eating truma over there. So Tosfos says over there, why don't we say the same thing? That it means that the mummer is that the ben necher is allowed to eat matzah and murah. And the answer is because there's really no chiddush in it. Of course he can eat matzah and murah in his chayiv and all the mitzvahs. He just has to do truma. Only the Pesach, we're saying, Tosfos mentions over there, imagine you have a case where he was a mummer when they shechted the Korban Pesach, and then by the time they sprinkled the blood, he did tshuva. Nevertheless, he still can't eat from it because he's not registered for that Korban Pesach. But but matzah and murah, there's no reason to say he shouldn't eat them. Of course, he's chayav to eat matzah. He's still a yid. Yisrael afa b'shechata Yisraelu. Only by the oral, where we're saying it's not his fault that he's not eating. It's only because the fact is the Torah doesn't want him to be an oral when he eats the korban pesach. So you would think maybe then he's potter from matzah as well, and therefore you need a limud to tell you that no, he's chayav in matzah. That's from the word boy, right? So again, you have two different boys: one by the oral, one by the ben necher. Okay. Next. What about, so by the ben necho, the boy teaches us that by the ben necho, it teaches us that he's allowed to eat truma, right? By the oral, it teaches us that he's allowed to and has a mitzvah to eat matzah. Yeah. Yeah. But not truma, no. An oral can't eat truma. Yeah. But he can't have a korban pesach. Okay. What about Elame after Toshav Besachar Lo Yechal Boy? What about another pasuk by Pesach Mitzrayim? Is that a Toshav and a Sachar are not allowed to eat from it? Now, Toshav is an Eved Ivri who is a Toshav is an Eved Ivri who was Nirtza, whose ear was pierced, and he stays by you till Yovel. He's called a Toshav because he's living by you for a long time. He's living by you till the next Yovel. A Sacher is an Eved Ivri whose ear has not been pierced. He's only staying by you for 6 years. So he's only staying by you for six years. So he's called a Sacher. He's like only a hired worker temporarily. So when it says Lo Yechal Boy, Hachi. Now 1 second, you're gonna ask, but an Eved Ivri doesn't eat from the Korban Pesach. We'll get back to that point in a second. Hachi nami de boy who ain't oichel, avol oichel will Pesach Dodos. You're going to tell me that it means again that he can't eat from Pesach Mitzrayim, but he could eat from Pesach Dodos because of the wood boy. Again, omakrov, avad, don't know, because again, you have the hekesh between all psachim that are brought in all times. Ela boy lomli. So what are we using the word boy for? What it means is boy hamoras das peselas, vein hamoras das peselas petruma. That it means that only with it, the korban pesach is a mummer, is a ben necho also to eat it, but not by truma, as we just said. Now Rashi points out, first of all, that's repetitious. We already said that we're learning that from the boy by ben necho. Second of all, the fact is, the Gemara tells us in that sugya in Yevamos that when we say over here Toshav V'Sachar Lo Yechal Boy, it doesn't mean at face value. Because after all, an Eved Ivri, whether he's for only 6 years, whether he's for 50 years, either way, he's a yid just like any other. Of course, he's chayiv in Korban Pesach. What do you mean Toshav V'Sachar Lo Yechal Boy? So therefore, the Gemara explains over there that actually that pasuk is not really being used for its simple pshat, that it means that a Toshav and a Sachar are not allowed to eat. What it means, we're actually using it as part of a Gzeira Shava. The Gemara is trying to establish over there how we know that an Oral is not allowed to eat Truma. This that we just said, that an Oral is not allowed to eat Truma, where do we know that from? And the answer is because we make a Gzeder Shava between Truma and the Korban Pesach, and for that purpose, we need the word Toshav V'Sacher that it mentions by Truma and that it mentions by the Korban Pesach. By Truma, when it says Toshav V'Sacher, it means that the Toshav or Sacher of a Koyan is not allowed to eat Truma. If a Koyan owns an Eved Ivri, that Eved Ivri is not allowed to eat Truma. Because after all, he's not a Koyan himself. An Eved Knani would be allowed to because the Koyan owns his goof, but not an Eved Ivri. That's the whole point. And an Eved Ivri, you don't own his goof. You only own his work for 6 years or for 50 years, as the case may be. An Eved Knani, you own his actual body. So he's considered. So the same way as your wife and your children and your animals can eat, the same way your Eved Knani can eat. But not an Eved Ivri. So therefore, the Gemara explains over there that we have a Gzeira Shava from the word Toshav V'Sacher in both places, that therefore that teaches us that other dinim that apply to one apply to the other, one of them being oral. So therefore, we're using the word Toshav V'Sacher not to say that the Toshav V'Sacher can't eat the Korban Pesach. Of course they do. They're chayev like everybody else. We're using it for a Gzeira Shava. So therefore, so Rashi says, so that plus the fact we already said that the mumer is allowed to eat truma based on boy that it says by Ben Nechor. So Rashi takes out this whole piece about Toshav V'Sacher and says it doesn't belong in the Gemara. It doesn't make sense why the Gemara would be repeating the limud and why we would even be asking from Toshav V'Sacher when we know from that Gemara in Yevamos that the Toshav V'Sacher is coming only for purposes of Gzeirah Shavah. The Gzeira Shava to teach us that an oral can't eat truma. That once we have the word Toshav V'Sacher by both of them, then we say the same thing. The din of oral applies by both of them. Yeah. Right. That's the Gzeira Shava, right. Okay. Fine. Elameata. So going back to the Gemara. So now again, we're going through each of the things by Pesach Mitzrayim, where it says some kind of miut hazeh or boy, and understanding if we say that if we don't say that it excludes something from Pesach Doris, then what is it coming to exclude? So elameata umalta oisei oz yechal boy. What about the pasuk says if a person has an eved knani, then it says you have to give him a bris. Only then can you eat it. Now, we've learned before what that means is that not only you have to be gemalit when the Pesach is brought, but all your children and all of your avod, all your sons, and all of your avodim knanim also have to be. If you own an eved knani who does not have a bris, then you are not allowed to bring the korban Pesach and you are not allowed to eat it. That's, we learn that from the fact that the pasuk says umaltoi, said that if you have an eved knani, you have to give him a milah, oz yoichal boy, then he, meaning you, the owner, can eat it. So then, hachinami de boy ena oichal abo oichal bePesach Doros. So you're telling me again? Would that mean that only in the Korban, only in Pesach Mitzrayim are you not allowed to eat from it if you have an eved who's an oral, but not Pesach Doros? And again, the answer, by the way, an interesting point over there is it comes out that when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, some of them had avodim knanim as well. You see over here, on the face of it, we're saying that the Pesach has to tell you that somebody who owns an Eved Knani and hasn't done a milah for him is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, mashma, that they had a Vodim Knani. When they were in Mitzrayim, the Pashtus. No, they went out the next day. They brought the Korban Pesach the night before. Well, the night when they brought the Korban Pesach, they were still in Mitzrayim. Well, so Knani doesn't literally mean from the nation of Knan. Eved Knani is a generic term for any Eved from any non-Jewish nation. So it could be there could have been, if not Mitzrayim, then there could have been people from other nations who were there in Mitzrayim who they could have. Then the owner was not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Okay, so again, so we're going to say that umalta oise oz yechal boy hachinami de boy ene oichel abel oichel bePesach Doros. You're going to say it means that Pesach Doros you're allowed to bring and eat even though you have an eved that wasn't mal. Again, the answer is omakru avadta, the same hekesh as before. Ela boy lomali. So what is the word boy coming to exclude? Again, it has to do with truma. Boy milas schorav avadav nakebes. Only when it comes to the Korban Pesach are we saying if your sons or your avadim have not had a milah, then you can't eat the Korban Pesach. Bein milas schorav avadav nakebes with truma, but that's not the case with truma. You're allowed to eat truma even though you have an eved or a son who isn't mal. They themselves are not allowed to eat truma, but you are. only by what? No, the Korban Pesach. No, the Korban Pesach. Oh, the slave himself. No. If you have an Eved Kanani who isn't mauled, you are not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. But you are allowed to eat Terumah. That's what we're saying. That's what we're learning from the woodboy. Okay. Ela me after dechtiv ve'etzem lo yushberu voy. What about the pasuk says you're not allowed to break a bone in the Korban Pesach, and it says boy. Hachinami de boy ain't a shover al shover pesach thodas. You're going to say that it means you're only not allowed to break a bone in the one mitzrayim, but you're allowed to break the one, but you're allowed to break ones in future generations. So the answer is no. Amakrova avabda. Ela boy lomali. So we said before, boy bekosher v'leib apostle. The word boy teaches us the issue of breaking a bone only applies if the Korban Pesach is kosher. If the Korban Pesach became apostle for whatever reason, then there's no issue of breaking a bone in it. Okay. Actually, Tosfos points out the question by this detail among all the details we're mentioning so far. This one we said applies by Pesach Sheni as well, and in fact, it spells it out in the pasuk we learned yesterday. It says by the Pesach Sheni the etzem lo yushberu voy. So therefore, so once it applies to Pesach Sheni, of course, by a Kavachomer, it should apply to the Pesach Rishon. Why is the Gemara even mentioning that you need the Hekesh for Avadta for that purpose if we could just as well learn it from Pesach Sheni? No, well, if you're breaking a bone for whatever reason, if you're breaking a bone, then you're not Chayiv Malkus, that's all. Yeah, fine, but you're not Chayiv Malkus for doing it. Okay. Fine. What about another one by Pesach Rish, by Pesach Mitzrayim? It says, don't eat from it half-roasted. Again, does that mean that in the future generations you'd be allowed to eat it half-roasted? Again, no, because it says v'yavadda, so you have the hekesh. So what are we doing? What are we doing with the mimenu? The answer is l'chadir Rabba, Omer Rav Yitzchok. We use it for a limud that Rabba says in the name of Rav Yitzchok. Also in Yevamos over there, we use that mimenu for a gzeira shava to Maaser Sheni that says that an oral is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni either. Just like we're saying that an oral can't eat the Korban Pesach, we use the word mimenu as a gzeira shava to go with Maaser Sheni that he can't eat Maaser Sheni either. So we've gone through all the mi'utim by Pesach Mitzrayim. We've shown most of them actually don't apply to Pesach Rishon on the grounds of the Hekesh of Ravadda, that all Korbanos Pesach brought during Nissan have the same rules. Each one we found something different that we might from it. So most of these dinim, even though they're only mentioned in connection with Pesach Mitzrayim, they apply to Pesach Dodas as well. This that you have, so we said, you don't have to buy, so Pesach Dodas was saying you don't have to buy 4 days in advance. For that, we have the Miut from Hazer, but you do have to check it from Mumim 4 days in advance. That we learn from Vavadda. We also learn from Vavadda that they both have to be eaten by night. We learn by both of them that an oral can't eat them, that a ben necher can eat them, if you have a son or an eved who doesn't have a milah, then you're not allowed to eat either one of them, neither mitzrayim nor dirtus. You're not allowed to break a bone in either one, and you're not allowed to eat either one half roasted. If you have a son, no. If your son is less than 8 days old, then there's no problem. We're talking about if your son is over 8 days old and you haven't mauled him for whatever reason, then yeah, you can't eat the Korban Pesach. Even if he's not allowed to have, he's not allowed to have. The father can't bring the Korban Pesach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Onward. We said in the mission of Necho B'chipozen, although we said the Korban Pesach has to, the Pesach Mitzrayim had to be eaten in haste. Whereas the one in future generations does not. So Manolon, where do we know that from? Here we have a miut. Drama krova achaltam oisai b'chipozin. The pasuk says you should eat it quickly. Oisai nechal b'chipozin, vein achar nechal b'chipozin. The ones in future generations do not have to be eaten quickly. Tosfos actually wonders why you should say that maybe oisai is being my Pesach Sheni, but Pesach Dodas we would still say v'avadda. Tosfos leaves the question open. Okay. We say O Pesach Dodas Noyed Kol Shiva V'Chola. We say the Pesach in future generations lasts for 7 days. days. So what do you mean? Amai koi. What are we referring to? Ilema Pesach. Do we mean the actual Korban Pesach? Can't. Pesach kol shiva miika. You don't have a Korban Pesach for full 7 days. It's only the first night. Ela achomets. So do you mean it refers to chomets, that the issur of chomets in future generations is for all 7 days, and therefore miklal, so now if we're saying that that's a contrast with Pesach Mitzrayim, miklal the Pesach Mitzrayim laila echa v'tuloi, so you're telling me that apparently the issur in Mitzrayim was only for one night, the issur of chomets was only for one night, and that's it. The problem with that is, v'hatanya, Rabbi Yosef Aglilim, minayim l'Pesach Mitzrayim she'en chimutza noyeg ela yoyim ech. How do we know where Pesach Mitzrayim, that the issue of chometz lasted for only one day, implying not only the night, but also the daytime? The pasuk says you should not eat chometz, and then the next pasuk says today you're going out. So the whole today that you're going out, the whole tesvav nissen, they were also to eat chometz. Whereas our Mishnah seems to be implying the Mishnah had said Pesach Mitzrayim is only one night, whereas Pesach Doris is noyeg kol shiva. So it sounds like, now obviously again, we're not talking about the Korban Pesach, so we have to be talking about Issur Chometz. So what are you telling me? Then it sounds like in Mitzrayim, they're only also in Chometz that night. But Rabbi Yosef Aglili is telling us they're also by day as well. Ela Hachikama, no. What the Mishnah means, therefore, is as follows. Laila Echad, that the Korban Pesach is only brought on one night, and you can only eat it on that one night, who had been the Pesach Dodus. That detail applies to Pesach Dodus as well, that you only bring it, that you only eat it on the one night of Pesach. But when it comes to the Issur Chometz, yes, that lasted all day, the whole day of Tesvav Nissen, or Pesach Dodus, no, Kol Shiva. As far as Pesach Dodus, though, that lasts not only one day, but the entire 7 days. In some places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that with Pesach Mitzrayim they have all of a sudden an Ur Makif represented by the Anani HaKavod that surrounded them. Therefore, you only need one day for Issur Chometz, and you don't need the rest of it because like an all of a sudden thing, and it's also sort of related to the matter of that they're b'chipazah and they have to, as it says in the Rebbe learned in Tanya recently, that they had to run away because they still have Ra within them. Whereas Lost in Love, we won't need that. So therefore, it's like all of a sudden a big jump into Ur Makif, and therefore it's only for one day, and therefore they had to eat the Korban, and then they had to eat the Korban Pesach quickly, whereas in future generations, yeah, you only have one night for the Korban Pesach, but the extent of it lasts over 7 days. So when Mashiach comes, we may not, well, no, because when Mashiach comes, you won't need the Chippozah, we're saying, but the Bavashtas, there's still Chometz to get rid of. Oh, you're saying because of Esruach HaTomah Avim and Aretz? Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So, by the way, I mean, a number of Rishonim asked the question in that case. Then, what are we saying that we say that the Jewish people didn't bake their dough until based on our Gemara over here? They were also in Chometz that first day anyway. So there's a few different answers. One of them being that the pasuk is not stressing so much one answer I think that Amban says is that it's not so much they could have made it chometz. The fact is they couldn't based on our thing. What we're saying is they could have baked it normally. They could have baked it back at home, but they couldn't keep Goshen and Mitzrayim because they're having to leave in a hurry. Another idea of it is maybe they're only also to eat chametz, but they're not also to have chametz in their possession. So therefore, they could have allowed their dough to become chametz. There's no problem because they're just not allowed to eat it for that one day. But niglalem melch machan alnachan hakadosh baruch hu golem, and therefore they didn't have time for it to become chametz. And Chassidus actually talks about the idea, I guess, relating to what you just said, that because of the gilui elikus, it wasn't able to become chametz. Okay. Right. Okay, Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua. So now from here till the end of the parak, we're going to be dealing with a number of miscellaneous dinim having to do with the Korban Pesach. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shamaiti Shetmuras Pesach Kreva. I heard from my Rabbein that there's a case where a tmura of a Korban Pesach is brought as a shlomim after Pesach, after Yudalad Nissen. Meaning we know the concept of a tmura. A person has an animal of Kodshim, and then he says, I'm taking this animal and making an exchange for that one. So the pasuk says, V'hoyahu Tmurase Yiyakodesh. The original one still has Kedusha, and the new one also has Kedusha. The new one obviously can't be brought as a Pesach because you only need one Pesach per year. So therefore it's like Moisa Pesach. It's like a leftover Pesach. Therefore it's brought as a Shlomim. So Rabbi Yeshua was saying, I heard from my Rebbeim that there's a case where you do that. You bring it as a Shlomim. Or Tumuras Pesach ain't a Kreva. I also heard from my Rebbeim that there's a different case where a Tumura of Pesach is not offered as a Shlomim. You have to leave it until it develops a mum, and then you sell it and use the money to buy a Shlomim. The Ainli Lefarish, and I can't explain which one is which. What are the case? I forgot. Rashi says, which one you bring it itself as a carbon versus which one you have to wait till it develops a mum and sell it and use the money for a carbon. Amar Rabbi Akiva ani afarish. So Rabbi Akiva says, I'll explain. The difference is like this. First of all, let's talk about a case, leaving aside a tmura. Suppose you have, forgetting about a tmura, you have an animal that you designated for the Korban Pesach. Then you lost it. And then, so you designated another one. Now you found the original one before you shechted the second one. So now the first one is still available when you shechted. So therefore, when you shechted the second one, and when you shechted either one, actually, then you're doicha it biyadayim. You're saying, I'm pushing it away. I'm not going to be using this as a korban anymore. So that's the case. When yirad shistoy, you have to leave it to graze till it develops a mum. V'yimachar, then you sell it. V'yavu b'dam of shlomim, and you use the value of that animal to buy shlomim. V'chein tmurasay. Now, the same thing would apply with a tmura. That if you were to take that animal that's supposed to be left to graze, and you did a tmura with it, then that other animal has the same din that you can't bring it to the shlomim. You have to wait till it develops a mum. Because it came from a kedusha that itself was pushed away. Now, by the way, Tosfos points out you have an opinion of Rav, and this is the halacha that ain balei chayim nidchin. But in this case, you actually pushed it away yourself. You did a maisa to say I'm not bringing this as my korban pesach. Therefore, that's different. Even Rav would agree that it is nidcha. Okay. So in other words, leftover is something else. If you have an animal that you were supposed to be bringing for the Pesach, and you didn't bring it at a Pesach, then it becomes a shlomim. No, we're talking about over here. You lost the animal. You designated a different one. Now you found the original one. Now you have your choice. Am I going to be makir with the first one or the second one? If you now are makir with the second one, then it shows that you pushed away the first one from bringing it as a korban anymore. So therefore, you don't bring it as a Pesach or as a shlomim. You wait till it develops mum and sell. If you macro the one you lost, then the second one, I think also you would have to leave it until it grazes. Because the same thing, the whole be a die. You pushed it off because you had the option of shechting either one. I think so. I'm not sure about that. Okay. And the point is the same thing with the tmura, that if you took the one that you would doicha and made a tmura with it, then that one also you can't bring as a shlomo. On the other hand, continues Rabbi Akiva, Acha Shchitas HaPesach. What if when you shechted the second one as a Korban Pesach, the first one was still lost, and then it only turned up later? Well, then you weren't doicha it. There were, at the time of Shchita, it wasn't there to be designated as a Pesach, and therefore that you could say you were doicha it. Therefore, Korav Shlomim, therefore it becomes a Shlomim, V'chein Tmurasa, and the same thing if you make a Tmura of it. Which, by the way, means, in other words, the first thing the Gemara is going to ask is, in that case, why did Rabbi Yeshua's Rebbeim focus on the case of a Tmura, based on the way Rabbi Akiva is explaining it? They could have just as well said that these didn't apply to the Pesach itself. You have a Pesach that you bring as Shlomim, and a Pesach that you don't bring as Shlomim. That's the first thing the Gemara asked. V'lema Pesach Korev or Pesach Eni Korev. Why didn't Rabbi Yeshua's Rebbeim say that there's a case where the Pesach itself is brought as a Shlomim, and a case where the Pesach itself, an animal that was designated for the Pesach, is not brought as Shlomim, but rather is left to graze, etc.? The answer is Hokamash Blon. Yeah, but the Chiddush they wanted to say is the Ika Tmuras HaPesach to Lekorva. They wanted to tell us that point. You shouldn't think that a Tmura is always going to be brought as Shlomim, whether you did the Tmura before or after the Shchita, because you would say that maybe you have two animals over there, but maybe the fact that you shechted one of them as the Korban Pesach is not Doicha the other one. Therefore, the other one still has the Dinim of Pesach, and therefore its Tmura becomes a Shlomim. No, they wanted you to know that not so. That actually the first one does become Nidcha, and therefore its Tmura is going to be Nidcha too, and can't be brought as a Korban, it has to be left to graze. Okay. Itmar. So now we have a machlokas on Now Rabbi Akiva had said in the Mishnah that if it was found before or after the Shechita, does that mean actually what it sounds like, before or after the Shechita, or something else? So Rabbi Omer Kodem Shechita or L'Acha Shechita Shenenu. Rabbi says that we are literally talking about before or after the second one was Shechted, and that depends whether you found the first one beforehand, and therefore you can say you were Doche or not. Rabbi Zera Omer Kodem Chatzos, L'Acha Chatzos Shenenu. Rabbi Zera says the key thing is not whether you found it before or after you Shechted the second one, but whether it was before or after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach Chatzos is what makes it established as a Pesach. So if you found it before Chatzos, then it was suitable at that moment to bring as a Korban Pesach, and then you didn't, so you were doche it. But if you found it after Chatzos, then there's no kviyos, it didn't become nikba as a Pesach at the time, when the time of bringing the Pesach begins, therefore you would say that it's not nikba. So the question is, will Reb Zera Hakatani Kodim Shchit as a Pesach? How does Reb Zera understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah had said, if you find it before the Shchita of the Pesach. The answer is Eim HaKodim Zman Shchita as a Pesach. Okay, it doesn't mean the actual Shchita itself, it means before the time of the Shchita. So the Moses Ketanoi, this is actually a Machloik Ketanoim. A Braisa says, a Pesach Nimtza Kodim Shchita Yira. If the Pesach, if the original one that was lost was found before you Shechted the other one, Yira, then you have to let it graze because you were Doche. La'acha Shchita Yira. If you found that after the Shchita of the other one, then you can bring it itself as a Shlomim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kodim Chatzos Yira, Lacha Chatzos Yira, and Rabbi Eliezer says it's before and after Chatzos, so therefore Rabbi Zera is going like Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi is going like the Tanakhama. So again, Lacha Chatzos, if you found it after Chatzos, before the Shechita, then Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Zera are saying that one could be offered. It was there already by the time you found by the time you shechted the other korban. Doesn't matter, because the key thing is not when you shechted the other korban. As long as this one was found and was available before Chatzos, then it's nidcha. But if you only found it after Chatzos, then it's not nidcha. Then if it's not nidcha, then you bring it as a shlomim. We said in the Mishnah, Acha Shchitas HaPesach Yovi Shlomim B'chula, that if you found the original lost animal after you shechted the other one, or according to Reb Zera after Chatzos, then you bring it itself as a Shlomim. So Amar Rava, Lo Yishanu Ala Shenimta Acha Shchita Behem Ubrai Acha Shchita. This, when we're talking about the Tmura in the Mishnah, would only apply only if you not only found the other animal after Shchita of the other one, but you also did a tzmura with it after Shchita. So in other words, you had the original animal, you lost it, you brought another animal, you shechted it, then the original animal turned up, and then you did a tzmura with it. That's when we would say that tzmura is brought as a shlom. Abel nimtza kodem shchita behemer by achas shchita, but if you found it before the Shchita and you did a Tmura with it, if you found it before Shchita and you did the Tmura with it after Shchita, then Tmurasim v'koyach kedusha d'choya ka'asa, then already the Tmura is coming based on a kedusha that was pushed off, because already we're saying the original korban itself is pushed away, because you would doche it be a dying by saying I'm bringing the other one instead of this one. So now when you make a tmura with it, then it's only coming from that weak level of kedusha, the like korban. So you don't bring it as a korban. Eisve Abaya says to Rava, what do you mean? Abaya says, im kesef matam leimer. The pasuk describes how you bring a shlomim. You can bring from tsoin as a shlomim, where tsoin is a generic term for sheep and goats. And then the Torah specifies and says, im keves, if a sheep is his korban, then the dinim are such and such. So matam leimer, why does it have to say the word im? It could have just said kesef umakriv. So what is the word im kesev? L'rabes, tmuras ha-pesach, achar pesach, shekor v'shlomim. It comes to teach us that the tmura of a pesach, after pesach, meaning after erev pesach, is brought as a shlomim. Now, hefi dami. Now, what case is the braisa telling us that you have to be marbe from the word im? Ilema shenimtza achar shchita behemer by achar shchita. If you're talking about the first case that you said, Rava, where you only found the original animal after the shechita of the second one, and you only made a tmura with it after the shechita of the second one, well then, pshita. Obviously, obviously you bring that one as a shlomim, because even the original animal itself is brought as a, it could be brought as a shlomim. So, Mike, lomali kro, what do you need a posik to tell us? Ela lav shenim tzakodim shechita behema b'yacha shechita. Evidently, the posik must be coming to be marba also the case where you found it before, shechita, and, but you, the tmura was only made after the shechita. So we're saying the original animal itself is nivcha, but the tmura is not nivcha because you only made it a tmura after the other one was shechted. So therefore, you see that even in that case, you bring the tmura as a shlamin, not like you're saying. The answer is like, no, you could be saying the pasuk is still marba, the case where you did the tmura itself only after the shechita as well. Or cross, the pasuk is not really teaching us the din. You're right, you could understand it logically. The pasuk is just an asmachta for the din. So, ela krolamayim. So, well, in that case, if we're not really using the word im for that limud, then what are we using that word im for? So, kedetanya, as it says in a braisa. Kesev l'rabas pesach la'alya. When the pasuk says that if a person brings a sheep as a shlamim, and it lists all the emurim that you bring from a sheep, one of them being the alya, the tail of the animal, so that teaches us that the pesach, also you do that, that a pesach, according to pesach, if you bring a sheep, then also you bring the alya. Otherwise, we would only know that that applies to the shlamim and other korbanos that the pasuk says are like the shlamim. We wouldn't know that it applies to the korban pesach. So now, from this, we learn that all the emurim that are brought from a sheep for a shlamim are also brought from a sheep for a pesach. And the pasuk is if a sheep, that's l'davas pesach sh'avar shnasoi. That comes to teach us also, even if the korban pesach is over a year old, where now you can't bring it as a pesach anymore, now it becomes a shlomim, or shlomim aboy machmas pesach, or a shlomim that's brought because of a pesach, meaning it was a pesach and now it's moiser pesach, now it's leftover, whether because you use a different animal, whether because it's a tmura, whether because you had money left over, etc. Rashi also mentions the possibility that it means that Shlomo Aboy Machmas Pesach can also mean the Chagiga that's brought on Yud-Dalad Nissen, where we had a Machlokas before how long you could eat it for. So now we would be saying the same thing, that if you bring a sheep, then it has the same Imurim. And l'chol mitzvah shlomim, so it teaches us actually not only as far as the emurim, but all the mitzvahs of a shlomim. Shetoin smicha, that a pesach that's now a something that was supposed to be a pesach and now is being brought as a shlomim, it has all the dinim of a regular shlomim. Shetoin smicha, you have to do smicha with it. As a pesach, it wouldn't have had smicha, but now as a shlomim, it does. Unesachim, and it requires nesachim, same thing. Utnufas chos of a shoik, and it also needs the chos of a shoik need to be waived. Ukshu oimu, if im is then when the pasuk says, and if it was a goat, then it means it breaks it up by saying the word v'im, it's breaking it up. Limit Allah is she'ena torah na'alya. That teaches us that all of those dinim would also apply if the pesach or the moisa pesach was a goat, but not the alya. That part, the pasuk lists over there that for a goat you have all the same emurim as for a sheep, except for the alya, except for the tail. So now we're saying the same thing is true as far as a korban pesach. So that's what we're learning from the word im. We're not really learning anything from it about a tmura. We're learning from it about the emurim of the pesach and about other dinim that apply to a shlomim haboy machmas pesach, but nothing to do with the tmura. So we can still say as far as a tmura, it's only an asmachta. Really though, the din is that it's only, the tmura is only being brought as a korban only if the original animal was found after the shechita, but the tmura is only made after the shechita. But if the original animal was found before shechita, then the tmura of it is not brought as a korban. Because then the original animal is nivcha, and therefore the tmura of it is not strong enough to be brought as a korban either. So then you have to let it graze, and you sell it, and use the money to buy shechita. Right. Okay. Right, to be continued tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yeah.